The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Like Bob on Facebook at facebook.com/BobBurneyLive.
And again, welcome to Bob Burney Live. Well, it seems like I've got a lot of bad news. We got a shooting here in Central Ohio, shooting at a high school down in Tennessee. And by the way, I just checked. No more details. Multiple gunshot victims at a high school in Knoxville, Tennessee. One of the victims is a Knoxville police officer. We do not know the extent of the injuries of anyone. We don't know whether it was one shooter, multiple shooters. All we know, multiple gunshot victims at a high school in Knoxville. And then this, and this... I started to say it's not as heartbreaking as a shooting, but in some ways it is. Here's the headline. Hillsong Church pauses Dallas campus after completing investigation of former pastors. Many of you are familiar with Hillsong Church. The lead pastor is from Australia, Brian Houston. They have produced an enormous amount of contemporary Christian music. Hillsong Music is a multi-million dollar venture, and hundreds of contemporary gospel songs, Christian songs, have come out of Hillsong. But it seems they have almost continuously been involved in one scandal after another. They have multiple campuses here in America. They also have locations in Australia. The New York campus, Carl Lentz was forced to resign. He was known as Justin Bieber's pastor. He was known as the pastor to the stars. Multiple allegations have come out against him, sexual impropriety, just a whole long list. He was forced to resign. And then their Dallas campus, Hillsong Dallas, the lead pastor there, Reed Bogard, and his wife, Jessie, a couple of weeks ago, announced that, hey, we just feel like we need to go in a different direction. And so we're just going to try something new, and we're not going to step aside. Well, according to the global senior pastor, Brian Houston, it's much more than that. And for now, they have announced, quote, a pause in the operation of the Texas campus. I don't understand that. Okay, they got a problem with the leadership. Why do you pause the worship, the activities? Anyway, that's their decision. But Brian Houston released this statement over the weekend. It was very disappointing to learn that while some of you experienced the Bogards as dedicated pastors, many others have experienced leadership that failed to meet the commitments and standards of Hillsong Church. I want to be the first to apologize to those who felt disappointed or hurt, and I pray that God does a swift work in bringing peace and healing. Hillsong did an investigation. They found, quote, the Bogards used church funds lavishly, and they have now been suspended from pastoral duties to uphold the standards of Hillsong leadership during the investigation. So sadly, and I mean this sadly, the scandals with Hillsong continue. The charge that has been made often with Hillsong is that they're an inch deep and a mile wide, just very, very shallow, extremely emotional, very, very emotional worship without a lot of theological foundation. And I honestly don't know. I'm not that familiar with their teaching and so forth. But I do know this. This is a, well, let me say what I'm going to say and then I'll clarify. This is a problem within contemporary Christian music. It is a shallowness, emotion taking precedence over sound theology and deep spirituality. Part of the problem is the youth factor. So many of the artists in contemporary Christian music are kids. Okay, to me, they're kids. They're extremely immature. Now, in the New Testament, when you look at the prerequisites, the qualifications for a pastor or an elder or any leader in the New Testament church, we are warned not a novice. Not a novice. Well, think of it this way. Many, 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 and I mean many, 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 I hope not the majority, but many, many American Christians, particularly Christian young people, are deriving almost all of their theology from their music. That's where they're getting their theology, is from their music. We have seen. And folks, listen, I'm not the fuddy-duddy wanting to go back to the good old days. Please understand that. But I do understand the change in paradigms. If you were to go back 100 or 150 years, if you wanted to draw a crowd in the Christian community, you held a revival. You held a tent meeting. You brought in a well-known speaker. And that's how you got a crowd. And those revivals would be scheduled for 2 days, 3 days, and sometimes they would end up going a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. And the crowds would grow and grow and grow and grow and grow because of the preaching. Fast forward to today. If you want to draw a crowd, you don't announce a preacher. Unless they are one of a handful, and I mean, I could count them on one hand, the well-known preachers that could fill the shot or nationwide, I count them on one hand. And you would have to promote them like crazy. But if you put together several musical groups, very popular, well-known musical groups, it'll be sold out in an hour. Now, please understand. Am I saying that music is bad? No, of course not. Of course not. Music is good, God ordained. It's powerful. But we have seen a shift from the sound theological proclamation of the word to music. That in many cases, and I'm not even saying most cases, but in many cases are extremely shallow and are almost pure emotion and repetition. We've got to guard against that. That's why I tell you, don't, and I hope you don't misunderstand, Don't spend all your time. If you listen to Christian radio, don't spend all your time listening to music. Am I telling you not to listen to music? Of course not. We have a Christian music station here that we operate. It's The Fish. And it's great. It's wonderful. But make sure you spend some time listening to some solid teaching, some exposition of Scripture, not just music. Be balanced. And I just think it's incredibly sad that one of the most influential sources for Christian music in America and actually around the world is just moving from one scandal to another. We got to make sure our theology is deep.
Follow Bob on Twitter at twitter.com/BobBurneyLive.
Now, let me finish my little dissertation on Christian music. There is some really, really powerful contemporary Christian music out. Powerful. Great words, deep words, theologically sound words. There's a lot of junk. There's some really, really talented contemporary Christian music artists. They're a lot. Can't sing. They can't. And it drives me nuts when we sacrifice quality on the altar of popularity. But anyway, so there are problems. But contemporary Christian music is not unique. And let me explain what I mean and why we must treat Christian musicians as ministers and not entertainers. Okay? We must treat Christian musicians as ministers and not entertainers. If we treat them like entertainers, they're going to act like entertainers. All right, quick story. I grew up loving Southern gospel music. Just love Southern gospel music when everybody else, and you have to understand my age, when everybody else was going crazy over Elvis and all of that, I was going crazy over the Blackwood Brothers and the Statesman Quartet and the Weatherfords and the Harvesters and the Spear Family and a whole host of the other groups. I just grew up loving Southern gospel music. Two or three times a year at the Long Beach Memorial Auditorium in Long Beach, California, they would have almost all-night sings. Southern gospel and all the big groups would be there, and it would go till 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and oh my goodness, I'd live for those things. All right. I developed heroes in the Southern gospel music field. I mean, I had heroes. Long story short, I was invited to join a gospel quartet in Southern California. They were not known nationally, but they were pretty well known on the West Coast. Scranton Hall and the Revelators Quartet. Been around for a long time, and I was invited to be the baritone for this quartet. And I joined just in time to start a tour up and down the West Coast, California, Oregon, and Washington State. Well, it turned out that several times we were the warm-up group for the biggies, the Blackwood Brothers and the Statesmen. And so we would go out and we would be the warm-up group. We weren't quite up to their stature by any means. But I was thrilled because I'm backstage. I'm hobnobbing around with my heroes. until I found out that a handful of them, were one thing on the stage and they were something else behind the stage. One of the most famous bass singers in America in Southern gospel music was known as a womanizer. He had a different woman in every city. And it was, the worst kept secret in Southern gospel music. Everybody knew it, but he had such incredible talent, he was just tolerated. One night, I believe it was in a concert in Portland, Oregon, we were backstage, and one of the headlining groups, I won't mention who they were, they're getting ready to go out on stage, and their bass, again, extremely well-known at that time. If you knew anything about Southern gospel music during those days, if I mentioned his name, you would immediately recognize it. He finally stumbles out. He is as drunk as a skunk. And he has to go out on stage and try to sing. Well, he had done this so many times, the rest of the group kind of, they played off of it. Not that he was drunk, but that he was just trying to be funny. And he was doing a kind of a comedy routine. And I'll never forget my heroes. Now, I'm happy to say that most of them were not that way, but it was tolerated because they were well-known, they were famous, and they were making their groups a lot of money. And I was crushed, absolutely crushed. But I learned an important lesson. Everybody has feet of clay. You don't put your eyes on men. You keep them on Jesus. But I also was disgusted that it was tolerated. And it was. It was tolerated. I think most of the guys in those quartets were solid. They loved God and they were really trying to minister, but they had become primarily entertainers. And they were willing to tolerate the obvious sin and rebellion of a member of their group in order to continue entertaining. So contemporary Christian music isn't the only genre of Christian music that has a problem. And what I'm saying is we need to be above that. Ministers, not entertainers.